Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Dodge, good morning. Now, of course, the debt ceiling deadline is March 15th, which is, I think, tomorrow for the Americans. What's your take on the implications of this deadline, given the American government's huge debt levels, with the fact that Donald Trump has got this huge infrastructure spending plan on the table?
Oh, good morning, Chung. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell just came out earlier today saying that the Senate would definitely raise the debt limit, but of course he didn't say when. He's going to be contacting the Secretary of Treasury politically, and they will discuss it. You have the Democrats who have traditionally never opposed raising the limit as long as it only allows the government to pay its existing debts, not create new ones. So ultimately, though, Chung, there are so many extraordinary measures that delay the ultimate necessity to make the decision to raise or not. It probably would go to sometime this fall before all those extraordinary measures are exhausted. So, yes, I do think that this is an opportunity for Trump to balance. He's a very good trader from a business point of view. So I do think he will use this as an opportunity to leverage his tax plan. Now, bear in mind, health care is becoming quite a stall. And so it's quite possible that that Trump will try to reorganize his strategy away from health care and let that take a rest, let it have a timeout, and that would allow Republicans to go for the sweet spot, which is tax reform. The House could move quickly on the issue, showing that the markets are pro-growth and that the reform is coming sooner rather than later, and the GOP desire, the GOP desire to show Wall Street some kind of movement would generate support for splitting the tax reform into two bills. So I suspect that there's a lot to be going on, and yes, I don't think it's just going to cut off this week.
Dodge, just clarify this for us, because if the debt ceiling is raised every year, is it wise and prudent for the American government to keep getting further and further into debt? And as a corollary, I guess, how much has it got to do with it, as you mentioned, the tax care plan, the Obamacare plan, the infrastructure plan? We've got all these plans on the table. That money's got to come from somewhere. Where's it going to come from?
Exactly. And no, it is not good for the long term to continue to raise the debt, particularly when you measure it against revenues. And so, yes, at some point we're going to have to face the reality that something's going to have to give. Now, what Trump is trying to do is to increase revenues, and in so doing, he's creating a possibility to extend the debt ceiling deal until this fall. But there's a lot of negotiations going on, and the one thing that Trump has, he has a business background. He understands realities, particularly of debt, and so therefore I suspect that he will be more realistic in what he is trying to do, and he will not allow it to get to the bitter end, and I suspect that he will be able to clarify what he wants to do to limit. I mean, when you take a look at his budget, you're going to see that there's a lot there to be negotiated, and so I suspect that the truth will lie in the negotiations between now and September.
Okay, let's switch to the Federal Reserve's meeting later today in America. And I think the market unequivocally expects a 26 basis point rise. How many increases do you expect for the rest of this year, Dodge? And what do you think that's going to do for the economy?
up to four timed throughout the year. I don't expect to have anything until June. The next raise will be in June. Yes, we do expect to raise tomorrow. Our time is Tuesday. But what I suspect will happen is that the perception of the increases will change from unexpected to an indication, a confirmation from the Federal Reserve that it also agrees that the U.S. is now on the move to the upside from an economic point of view, not political, but from an economic point of view, and that would be viewed much more positively by the markets.
What about related monetary policy movements in the rest of the world? Because this week is quite big for the central banks of England, of course, the Swiss National Bank, the Bank of Japan, and Bank Indonesia as well. What's your view on those quite key central banks?
Well, my view is that there's a lot to be going on, and it's hard to come up with a summary of what the impact is overall, because I think each will be viewed differently, and I think the decisions are going to be made differently. And bear in mind, we also have the G20 finance ministers meeting in Germany on the 17th. So we have a lot going on. To me, there's no gain to try to predict what's going to happen. I'd much rather have the decisions come out. I suspect that they will be the expected decision. I expect there'll be less of a move than more of a move. And I suspect that it will be balanced with what's going on with the U.S. budget and with the decisions that are being made politically over here. So I do not expect to have a negative surprise in terms of the monetary decisions that are being made. It's just a question of whether they will be viewed as positively as they could be.
Well, it's not surprising that different economies around the world move at different speeds. But of course, everybody kind of follows the Federal Reserve in terms of its rate normalization policy. You mentioned, Dodge, about the G20 meeting in Germany. What do you expect to emerge from that particular meeting?
Not much, to be with all due respect. I don't expect much in terms of move of its effect on other economies. I mean, they're talking about economic resilience and finance, digitalization, investments in Africa. That's clear. They will have a two-day meeting. They will come up with decisions. But I suspect that they'll be more conciliatory, more positive, more supportive of the status quo and the slow but regular advancement of the world. I do not expect to have a major surprise coming out of the G20 finance meeting. So, again, the surprises are going to be coming from elsewhere, and unfortunately, and primarily in the U.S. with regard to the budget, with regard to the debt limit, etc.
Well, you mentioned the Trump budget, Dodge. Give us some details about what you expect to see coming from that slide.
Wow, I'll tell you, this is something else. He plans to basically dismember the government. This will mark his most significant attempt to remold national life and the relationship between federal and state power. He will try to codify an assault on regulatory regimes over the environment. This is important because this will be a big change from what's happened in the past. Environment, business, and education that were bequeathed by former President Barack Obama. An attempt to halt decades of steadily growing government reach. So some of it, like in education, I think he will try to throw back the responsibility from a budgetary, from a monetary point of view, away from the U.S., the government, to state control and state monetization. So all presidential budgets are aspirational documents in nature. Very few have emerged from Congress in the same shape as they arrived on Capitol Hill. I mean, this is clear. But in this case, Trump's first budget will make more of a statement than most spending blueprints that have occurred in the past by other presidents, other new presidents particularly. The White House has made it clear it intends to use this document to usher in a radical political change that really goes back to Trump's upstart anti-establishment campaign that he waged last year. So watch for what he says, but do not expect it all to make it through the whole budgetary process. And what will be more important is the change at the end from the status quo that we've had up to now versus what we've had in the past, not what Trump is saying, not what he is belaboring in his budgetary speeches, but what actually occurs, because he's a very good negotiator, and we will see what he has to do to get the primary parts through.
Dodge, thank you. That was Dodge O'Dolan, the Chief Investment Officer for Lander & Fuse Capital Managers of the New York City, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.